You ever wake up so hungry that you want the biggest breakfast ever? You might want to give this a shot. Introducing the new Supreme Breakfast Sandwich from Burger King. Two sizzling sausage patties side by side, crispy bacon, eggs, and melted cheese on a long toasted bun. I know that's a lot. Did you get it all? Here it comes again. The Supreme Breakfast Sandwich at Burger King. Two sausage patties and bacon, eggs, and cheese on an extra long bun. Try the new Supreme Breakfast Sandwich now, only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can check me out on Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+. And also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. I'm excited to welcome the program, author Rob Roselli, boxofsunglasses.com. Every week, Rob, I said it gets crazier and crazier, and it just continues. I mean, every time we think things are going to settle down, they don't. They don't settle down. Things just get nuttier and nuttier with Donald Trump and just everything in between. Today's Cuba craziness. Rob, I just don't know. I mean, there's always content for you, isn't there?
Well, there's always something going on. As I've said, the chaos, a lot of what's going on has actually been planned from the beginning. The whole thing's designed to blow up, and what will happen as a result of all this chaos, and not just this so-called presidential election, but in fact what's going on in the world. This is the concept of our criminal overlords putting into practice all around of chaos. And it relates to the phoenix rising out of the ashes. It's the same concept that we're supposed to kill each other out here in a so-called imbecile majority. And it's just what's being planned for us. And I know it sounds outlandish, and it's, you know, maybe we'll get into it a little bit, but this is how it's always been.
Right. I mean, let's talk about something that I know. This is not a presidential election, and I just, you know, always looking at you as an expert to talk about why things are the way they are. I was watching The Wonder List on CNN, okay, and CNN's not always, but it was more educational about Cuba, and I thought that The Wonder List did a tremendous job of showing how poor and dilapidated Cuba is based on communism, and I know that the host has his own say. He was on Nightline ABC before and stuff like that, and he really came out and showed how horrible Cuba is because of the communist regime. Yet today it sounded like Cuba's perfectly fine, when yet it's dilapidated, destroyed, and everything. And basically, when communism started in 1960 something, the country has never recovered. Why in God's creation are we trying to say it's a good thing to have socialism and communism? You know, just looking at specifically that one from in general.
Well, it's not us. I mean, it's this fraud. It's this multi-named, multi-birthplace, con man, sleaze, half-white freak we got in the White House right now. This so-called President Obama, I mean, it was his big idea to go out and visit Fidel Castro and, like, everything's fine and all this sort of thing. But that's just what communism is. It's talked about this. It's really a logical contradiction. It's the control of many by a control of a few. The useful idiots that are looking to bring it about are always the biggest losers. That's just the way it is. I mean, if you look at what's going on today with Trump and all that, but it's just... I can't explain it. I don't think it can be explained in human terms. I mean, it's just a mess. Cognitive dissonance, it's called. It's just people just being really blind. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And I think of many people, you know, who knows? a lot of people are thinking. I think a lot of it is spiritual. I think these people are spiritually blind. If you go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and it talks about Satan darkening people's minds in the world and making them just totally nuts. I mean, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I mean, there's no word to explain it. When you look at things and you step back and look at how crazy people are and look at the world and then look how nutty things are getting, I happen to think that there's no way this many people can be that stupid without some kind of spiritual dimension to the whole thing. Right? That's just how I feel. It's just, at some point, logic ceases. Basic reasoning and logic, ceases to explain everything. But if you look, as far as these so-called revolutions, I mean, really, as far as modern times go, I mean, the French Revolution is the one that got it started. I got the whole ball rolling on this whole concept of anarchy and this sort of thing. And if you look at it ran just a little bit after the American Revolution. With the French Revolution, but if you compare the two, the comparison and contrast is really significant. And I do get into this. My first book, boxofsunglasses.com, if you go on there, I think it's page 16, you can get that book. I mean, you can get it from the publisher. You can actually download it as a PDF. And for that money, I only ask for a donation. But anyway, I get into it a little bit with that book. And really, what the French Revolution was instigated by European Illuminati. The Illuminati, it's not some, fake group on some, Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code. I mean, the Illuminati is a real group from history, and they were formed, May 1st, 1776. Let me do one of my... divergences right here. Let's just tie a lot of this together up to now, and we'll get back into this chaos thing of the French Revolution. But May, the Bavarian Illuminati, talked about May 1st, 1776. And if you go in and you look at maybe the history of it, and look at that date, just focus on that date, May 1st, and it's known as May Day throughout many parts of the world. Okay, it's the founding of Socialist International, and it's celebrated as World Workers' Day. The old communist Soviet Union, May 1st, which was a holiday. So it's a communist holiday, but, in the founding of the Bavarian Illuminati, as I said, but also, what does it signify on May 1st? In a quote religious sense, is halfway between the spring equinox and a summer equinox, okay? And in the pagan calendar, those dates are significant. The halfway between the equinoxes are significant pagan events. And May 1st happens to signify the month of May, which is named after the goddess Maya, okay, which so happens to be aligned with the Greek goddess Gaia. Okay, remember, we spent a lot of time, talking about the male, Osiris and his whore sister / wife, Isis, okay? The male and female, it's the yin and the yang of Freemasonry, the black and the white, the opposing forces, light and dark, cold and hot, okay? The cold is signifying the moon, the moon goddess Isis, or the Roman Diana. And then now, Osiris, or the Greek Apollo, the Roman Jupiter, et cetera. Okay, so you got May 1st, so you got Maya, parallel to Mother Earth or Gaia. So you're seeing a huge religious connection to the so-called atheistic communism, okay? Because communism is really... The Illuminati, they really weren't atheists at all, okay? They're just God-hating anarchists, okay? So it's very significant that that date of May 1st. Now, when you look at it, and of course, you know what happens. You know, with a lot of the New Age freaks, okay, you have May Day celebrations. Okay, it's a big the Maypole. Okay, it's equivalent to the Asherah poles that people remember the Old Testament. I think it's like the places like in Jeremiah, Deuteronomy, chapter 7, I think it is. You know, and God says go in and. When Israelites are moving into Canaan, the promised land, and God tells them to go in there, and burn everything down and kill everybody and take down all the Asherah poles. It's really a reference to these so-called maypoles, which again signify the female whore goddess, Nemesis of the Old Testament. Okay, so it's very, very significant. That date is celebrated again by many communists, anarchists, nature freaks, the Bavarian Illuminati, socialist organizations, the old communist Russia. Celebrating May 1st really tells a lot. And by the way, okay, in this country, May 1st, this is another thing that slipped through the cracks, it's cracked through the side of
right.
the country. Somebody's cracked the size of the Grand Canyon when it comes to reporting or not reporting, things on this multi-name scam, Sobarko, Obama, Sotaro, whatever the hell this guy's name is, Uncle Barry in the White House. He designated May 1st something called Loyalty Day, okay? This was back in 2010 or something. Why would Obama? What was the deal with that? And why would he be again honoring his mother? Okay, the whore goddess Isis with something called Loyalty Day. So anyway, that is hugely significant. Okay, I'm kind of bringing last word back into the conversation we're having. Is if as you're seeing unfolding in this country, the French Revolution-like mentality of these so-called anarchist groups, okay? And a lot of these groups, at least in the modern sense, got their start in the French Revolution. And if you go back and read the history of the French Revolution, there really was no point to it. It was started by so-called poor French people, and I'm not saying France was perfect, but it in no way was bad enough to justify the wanton slaughter and bloodshed that was to become the French Revolution. Okay, it was one of these. It was you had in France, you had a lot of leftover a feudal system. Okay, you did have a lot of decadence and corruption and this sort of thing. Kind of like the United States. A lot of lazy, bureaucratic kind of deadbeats in France. And there's a lot of parallels, and I don't want to get into that right now. Cause it's,
right, exactly.
We're kind of confusing because a lot of the deadbeats and whatever in France would you'd really have to say that a lot of them are today's government bureaucrats, which are liberal to begin with, but that gets way too confusing. But just suffice it to say that there was this resentment in France amongst the working people to this so-called bourgeoisie or whatever they called it. That they looked at them as decadent and lazy. These were the descendants of the feudal lords of the Middle Ages. Okay, so that was of course like any government, like the current United States government. Okay, there was a lot of corruption and this sort of thing. But there was no the event, the storming of the Bastille, when that started, supposedly the people's uprising and for the people. A lot of people in France, in Paris, the so-called people that was for it, they didn't even know what was happening at the time, okay? And then basically what happened was that was the spark that set the whole thing off. You had a very relatively minor uprising of people attacking the Bastille. Almost the whole country was just thrown into complete mayhem. Okay, and what happened with the French Revolution was It was anarchy.
Exactly.
It was people perpetuating chaos. Okay, there was no goal to it. It was godless. And if you do parallels between the American Revolution and the French Revolution, all the time we're getting, the godlessness of the French Revolution and the Christian foundation of the American Revolution. Not that war is very good, but if you look at the lack of desire for the founders to fight the American Revolution, and they're really boxed into a corner. I mean, the British Empire was not going to let the American rebels was not going to let them get away with what they were doing. I mean, sticking their thumb in the eye of the British Empire. And Britain moved in, and they had their backs against the wall, and they had a fight, or they were going to die. They did their best to avoid fighting. And even then, I mean, it was only 3% or so of the American population that actually did the fighting, and only a third of the American population really supported the American Revolutionary. About a third of the country was for the revolution, a third were kind of on the fence. Just kind of sitting around waiting to see who would win. They didn't really show, and the third was still with England. But the point is that they weren't the American Revolution. They weren't really itching for a fight, which is in contrast to the so-called revolutionaries in France, which were. And you're still an issue, Neil. And if I'm wrong, or you want something to add, feel free to do. I'm kind of self-taught here. I'm just.
Yeah, I understand. But you're giving us the conspiracy theories.
But basically with the French Revolution. So anyway, so you just had this orgy of violence. Okay, and who was behind it? But again, these Bavarian Illuminati founded again on May 1st, 1776, as we just explained. So even the dates, the dates are very close to parallel. And if you want to say, the most famous date associated with the American Revolution, of course, being July 4th, 1776. But anyway, so you had this storming of the Bastille, and I think, what was the date? I think I want to say 1789. Is that correct, Neil? I don't remember. 1790. I don't remember the exact year. But anyway, the French Revolution devolved into just mobs. Okay, and chaos. Okay, so pretty soon, things got so bad that even the people were just being hung, they're being beheaded, just on the mere accusation of being part of the old regime, or being part of the so-called bourgeoisie. Okay, that really the French, so-called people were rising up against. And it sounds like really like an 18th century version of the Weather Underground, but then, Bill Ayers, communist revolutionaries known as the Weather Underground. We'll get back to that in a second. But things got so bad. Churches were being burned. Priests, religious people were being jailed, imprisoned, beheaded, etc. Things got so bad that even the inventor of the guillotine, a guy by the name of Robespierre, he was a revolutionary, and it was when he got the power, which he held for a very short time, the revolution turned on him, and he wasn't radical enough, and he wasn't worthy to lead the revolution, and he got beheaded by his own invention. So it just descended into this pure, just bloodlust and anarchy. And what ended up happening is that he ended up getting a dictator anyway by the name of Napoleon. In France, who was the worst dictator in history? As far as dictators, when you compare them to Hitler and Stalin and Pol Pot and Mao and these kinds of people, but nonetheless, military dictator who got France involved with all kinds of wars. Anyway, so the French, so basically, they had a godless revolution, which just was around, what was it, 8 to 10 years of just pure bloodshed and anarchy and really essentially no government, no control. And out of that arose this Napoleon. So it was pointless, okay? It was just bloodshed and bloodlust for the sake of bloodshed and bloodlust, okay? and the main group now, let's just look at this. And by most historical accounts, it did serve as the foundation for the, you know, the anarchist-like revolutions, more successful in terms of the implementation of communism, of the Russian Revolution, especially the Chinese Revolution, and other so-called communist revolutions throughout the country. Okay, and this is the amazement to me. Even knowing what I know and biblically and seeing what's really going on, it's still, I'd be lying if I said it didn't amaze me, the stupidity of these American students, these so-called, you know, students and all these other groups, you know, in the same kind of mold of the French Revolution that is starting to rise up right now. Let's just finish up with the who was behind the French Revolution was this Bavarian Illuminati. And if you go and you read the tenets of the Illuminati, you know, it aligns with modern day so-called communism. So in other words, you know, there are six or seven basic, you know, the planks of the, you know, Illuminati was the elimination of national borders, the elimination of religion, the destruction of a family, the destruction of current law, you know, the acquisition of private property, the destruction of private property rights, okay, nature worship, okay, and it's just sit there and say, wait a second, that sounds like, you know, these idiot college kids today in the United States, you'd be right, okay, and also mimics, again, it serves as a template for the Russian Revolution, the Nazis, okay, National Socialists, okay, you know, they had a lot in common with these Bavarian, the tenets of the Bavarian Illuminati. Nice little communism and the Nazis hated each other. I was like, yeah, because it's like the Capones and the Dillingers going at it for control of Chicago or something. It wasn't anything. But they really opposed each other philosophically. They opposed each other because they're both dictatorial systems that came into a conflict. Now, you know, in the case of the National Socialists in Germany, you know, Hitler wanted communism for Germany only. I mean, he was a German nationalist, but he was anarchist / communist himself. You know, until he got control of the government, and then, you know, like any big government, communist or Nazi, you know, government. You know, once he gets control, then all of a sudden the revolution stops. You know, that's enough, guys. You know, I got my power, and I used your useful idiots, which would be like Hitler's brown shirts. Okay, as soon as as soon as they're anarchists, you know, they're beatings and, you know, beating the opposition. As soon as Hitler was in power, all of a sudden those brown shirts and those street thugs became a threat to him. Remember, before the French Revolution, I mean, you know, they never, you know, as soon as somebody got into power, then the revolution turned on them. It was never any orgy of violence. I mean, Hitler, you know, for everything else, I mean, he was evil, but he wasn't stupid. So as soon as he climbed the tower, he didn't need the street thugs anymore to beat down his opposition and beat down his rival communists. He had something called the Night of the Long Knives, and he went out and, you know, killed the leadership and basically had, you know, his SS, you know, a group of even more evil thugs take out the brown shirts. So that, you know, the brown shirts would be these, basically, you know, would equate to today's stupid, idiot, violent, you know, anarchists that are promising violence at every Trump rally and all this sort of thing. I mean, those are, you know, in roughly historical terms, those are your brown shirts that they, you know, fighting for. You know, I don't even know who the hell these idiots are fighting for. I guess they're fighting for Obama.
Exactly.
Who really knows? Whatever, you know, whatever system they fight, they bring about, you know, they're fighting the power. So they're so stupid and insane. You can't even, it's even hard to explain them. But once whoever, like in the case of Obama, let's just say, let when you know when he issues martial law and takes full control and then decides he's not going to leave the White House or he's going to declare himself dictator because, you know, it's a national emergency, because we have all this anarchy because of all these stupid, you know, college kid anarchist morons, these Bill Ayers led weather underground morons. Okay, when Obama locks himself into power, you know, who do you think these street thugs, these gangs, these useful idiots, I mean, they're going to be amongst the first ones that are going to get, you know, sent to the FEMA camps or executed or who knows what, just like Hitler's, you know, brown shirts. As soon as their usefulness was done, they were killed themselves. I mean, you know, in the Russian Revolution, I mean, you had a lot of the same things going on. I mean, Trotsky, right? I mean, Trotsky was a leader of the Russian Revolution. And when Stalin came to power, you know, Lenin died. Stalin comes to power, and he chased Trotsky out of the country. And I think he chased him down into Mexico. He didn't want him coming back to Russia again to start another revolution. And he had him executed. I think it was in Mexico or something. He had the same kind of principle there. But it's the same thing here. Okay, but just getting back to Hitler versus, you know, the communists. I mean, Hitler was a national socialist versus communist. You know, communists were more of an international socialist organization. In other words, communists wanted socialism for the world. They want the whole world to be under this one world government. Vis-a-vis the Soviet Union, wise, you know, Hitler wanted the same thing, but he wanted to be a purely German government. I mean, they're both as insane as they sound. But again, once people are blinded, spiritually blinded by Satan himself, because the Illuminati is a satanic organization, hence the worship of Gaia or the whore goddess. You know, the Egyptian whore goddess, you know, Isis, as we explained before, and is signified by the all-seeing eye, the illuminated open eye, as in Genesis 3, you know, the worship of Lucifer, you know, your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods. It really does trace to that. And so the Illuminati really, at its heart, is a satanic organization. Okay, so this is... Again, this is what's really behind. This is what explains the nuttiness or the stupidity of all these so-called revolutions that I've been talking about. Okay, and then hopefully I tie all these things together. But
yeah, you're getting it. Yeah,
this is exactly what I see happening in this country. Okay, and Trump is not. Okay, let's get this straight. Again, I'll say this from a purely political standpoint. Me personally, I'm still not 100% sold on Donald Trump. I mean, although I every day more and more I revere the guy and I respect his tenacity and his sticking with running for the presidency. I mean, let's face it, there's a significant portion of this country, these morons that want the guy dead. But I respect his tenacity. Again, you know, as far as political, I think he's more of a social liberal on a lot of things. Okay, I'm not really sure. You know, he called himself a Christian. I'm not really sure about it. But anyway, getting back, really, all these protests and all these communist front groups, okay, and these idiots, okay, they're not really protesting Trump per se. What they're really protesting is the concept of America. And God itself, because with Trump, you know, what a lot of black beliefs, and I'll throw myself into the mix too, but a lot of basic American, you know, God-fearing Christian Americans are clinging, just like, remember, Obama, you know, American Christians and people in the Midwest cling to their guns and their religions, Mr. Tough Guy, you know, Mr. Obama's going to come in, and, you know, Mr. Ivy League, you know, he knows better than all those stupid rednecks with their guns, you know, talking to some freaks out, you know, in San Francisco, those freaks, those people out in San Francisco. But anyway, that was Obama, but what I'm getting at is that really what these people are protesting is America itself, okay? These are godless anarchists, okay, that are fighting, that are protesting. Yeah, they're protesting Trump, but Trump is just, he's just a guy that's in the right place at the right time, for lack of a better term right now. That's just filling this void of Americans tired of being pushed around, tired of being taxed, tired of paying, you know, literally trillions of dollars in fake, you know, bad enough they had the Federal Reserve System to begin with. Okay, but then they, you know, the IRS comes in to, you know, to take, you know, the fiat dollars right. away. And it was still called welfare payments and great society payments. And on top of that, being told that they're racist and they're garbage and these laws, and they have to, you know, they have to, you know, more than half of what they earn have to go pay, you know, the government to redistribute it to a bunch of really spoiled brats and illegal immigrants and pay for free college and all this other stuff. And Americans as a whole are just fed up. And now you got these little spoiled, these little useful idiot, spoiled brats, Ivy League college kids and all these other, again, today's brown shirts, useful idiots coming out and just really, like, multiple, like, all accounts. If you read the accounts, I mean, these so-called protesters are the most hateful, spiteful, just piss and vinegar filled, senseless anarchists. Okay, they're just out there protesting Trump. Trump is a fascist, and Trump is a Nazi. You can see just how right, idiotic.
Exactly, it's crazy. I mean,
you can see how idiotic these kids are. So, wait, you know, you're calling Trump, and even the press. I mean, it's not just a stupid college kid; it's a stupid press too, which I guess are, you know, college kids that couldn't get real jobs. So they went to work for the government, or they had to go work for, you know, some newspaper like the Daily News, or the bought and sold New York Slimes or something, and become so-called liberals, but. To call Trump a Nazi, you know, again, we had this conversation last week, but to call Trump a Nazi, I mean, you know, Trump is the ultimate capitalist. I mean, you know, do I think personally he takes it too far? And again, I'm not a liberal by any means. Hopefully, you know, people have figured it out by now. I mean, should Trump give, you know, a lot more of his wealth away? Yes, he should. But the difference between, you know, people say Jesus was a Christian and all, you know, or not, excuse me, Jesus was a communist and he believed in wealth distribution. That, again, that's just another, another argument that points to the woeful ignorance and stupidity of all these so-called liberals and these, you know, these liberal Catholics and all these other people that say, well, how could you oppose immigration or how could you oppose, you know, what we're doing? You know, Jesus was a communist. No, he wasn't. Jesus didn't advocate, you know, sticking a gun into somebody's head and saying, give me your wealth and give it to the poor people, you idiots. You
right,
couldn't
exactly,
believe in the mandatory compassion of communism. Communism is mandatory compassion. It makes no sense, okay? It's compassion with the, you know, at the barrel of a gun, okay? It's knocking on your neighbor's door with a two-barrel, you know, double-barrel shotgun and saying, you know, give me your money. Except in the case of the federal government, I mean, you know, it does it under the auspices of fairness and, you know, under the quote legality, but really the heavy-handed tactics of the thug IRS, okay, formed, you know, to enforce that the federal income tax brought to us by the Federal Reserve System, which we discussed at length. So that's your compassion, okay? And the good, like, say, Matthew 19, okay, and Jesus, you know, talks to the rich guy in the horse comes up to Jesus and says, you know, what do I do? You know, what must I do to become saved? And Jesus goes through the commandments, you know, do not lie, do not cheat, steal, and all this. And the guy says, these things, all these things I've done, you know, what do I lack? And Jesus tells me, I said, sell everything you have and follow me. Okay, and that seems to be one of the verses or one of the parables that people refer to. See, Jesus was a communist. As another aside, which is kind of funny because, you know, communists and these anarchists are supposed to be, you know, atheists, and they really were atheists. They were all Darwinists, by the way. I know I focus on Hitler as far as Darwinists, but Karl Marx, Lenin, Stalin, all these people were huge fans of Darwin, by the way, because they took the God out of the picture and they made science God and justified things like genocide and population control, which sounds familiar, because then we circle back around to, you know, to May 1st and Gaia worship and everything else that we talked about before. But anyway, people point to that May 1st, excuse me, people point to that parable as, you know, Jesus was a communist, but no, he wasn't, because what happens? The guy, it's, you know, the account in the Bible in Matthew 19, the guy goes away very sad because he had great wealth and he did not want to give up his wealth. Now, Jesus was a communist in today's sense and an anarchist and a useful idiot and a brown shirt or whatever you want to call him or a French revolutionary. He would have chased the guy down and beat him to a pulp, taken his money by force. Or if it was the American government, you know, the IRS, he would have sent the tax collectors. I mean, they had tax collectors in Israel, and, you know, Matthew himself was a tax collector. He would have sent the tax collectors after him to basically garnish his wages and enforce his compassion that way. So it just doesn't wash, okay? So the whole thing, again, I can't say this enough, it's so stupid. It's unbelievable, and there really is a religious undertone to the whole thing. And look, you know, here's another example. Okay, Obama is one of his mentors. Okay, one of the people he followed was a guy by the name of Saul Alinsky, okay, who's just a liberal Jewish radical, okay, in 1960s, you know, red diaper baby, whatever you want to call them, or teacher of the red diaper babies, just radical anarchist in the spirit of, you know, Adam Weishaupt, who founded the Bavarian Illuminati, who we talked about at the top of the show. You know, again, founded on there on May 1st, 1776, but he dedicates his book, Rules for Radicals, he dedicates it to what he calls the first rebel in history, Lucifer. Okay, and I have a copy of this book. It's a little book. You can get it on Amazon. I don't know. Just spend $3 or $4 and read through it and read that sicko mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the sicko mentality of our so-called, a lot of these teachers at these Ivy League schools, these so-called liberals and University of Chicago. Okay, now they're the joke for you. University of Chicago. Okay, look at these idiots a couple of weeks ago, you know, out there violently opposing and getting Trump to cancel one of his, one of his rallies. Okay, and they're trying to pull this stunt everywhere throughout the country. You know, the University of Chicago. I mean, what is the University of Chicago? Because again, it's a Rockefeller founded university, which is used to teach all these useful idiots. Okay, and we've talked about the tax exempt foundations, the Ford Foundation. And the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the Carnegie Endowment, okay, if you follow, and today we're really the most physical face of this is George Soros and all his organizations, but anyway, there's people out there much more powerful and in the shadows, you know, back behind the shadows of where George Soros is. But anyway, if you look at these tax-exempt foundations, and Rockefeller founded the University of Chicago, okay, they founded all these universities, Columbia University Teachers College,
exactly,
to implement communism. Okay, and I've got into this before. And if you look, the radical homosexual movement, the radical feminist movement, all these stupid anarchist students, these morons, these useful idiots. Okay, if you follow the money trail. A lot of these are so-called environmental groups. If you follow the money trail behind these groups, you follow the money trail up, you're going to run smack into the middle of the most richest uber capitalists, these old money families like the Rockefellers, the Fords.
Right, exactly.
The same names they gave us, the American Federal Reserve System, the same names that founded these so-called universities. Okay, they fund all these useful idiots, and you say, well, why would the capitalists, why would George Soros, why would the Rockefeller clan, the Rothschilds, and all these, why would they start all these universities and found all these so-called, you know, institutions of higher learning, which are nothing but bastions of communist, American-hating, religious-hating, family-hating, liberal professors and organizations and communists and anarchists. Why would they? Well, it doesn't make any sense, but it makes perfect sense.
It does.
Okay? It makes perfect sense. Because remember before, we talked about the tenets of the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati, the same tenets of the communists. Okay, they serve as the foundation of Karl Marx and the communists. Well, it's sort of the foundation of the Anglo-American, you know, the Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Columbia, Cornell, University of Chicago, Cal Berkeley, useful idiots, okay? Because, again, communism is not an uprising of the masses. It's not anything for the people, okay?
Exactly,
all it does is it centralizes power into this cabal of international bankers, okay? There's your answer, okay? You need to step back and look at the whole thing, okay? And hopefully it's seemingly going in circles here and going off on a lot of tangents, but again, you know, just like with a pair of binoculars and you're trying to look at something in the distance and or a microscope, whatever analogy you want to use, hopefully what I'm saying is starting to come into focus and then things are starting to make sense. Okay, this is really what's going on here. Okay, what you're seeing played out in these anarchists versus Trump is really these multinational corporations, okay, these sellouts, these American, these international bankers, okay, who have no borders, who's only, there is no nationalism, there is nothing to these guys except greed and this insatiable lust for power and the spirit of Mao and Hitler and Stalin, okay, many, you know, all of which were funded by the same group of international bankers, by the way. Communism, Karl Marx, okay. You know, again, these are your, you know
exactly,
Rockefeller,
yeah,
for example. You know, John Rockefeller was a huge social Darwinist, okay. These people legitimately believed in, they took Darwinism, survival of the fittest, and they applied it to everyday life. And this is what they called social Darwinism, okay. And they just, you know, any way they can achieve power, was okay to them, because if they were smarter than everybody and then people deserved to die so they could get power, this is the same mentality that brought about the Nazis, okay, which isn't a surprise because I document, you know, extensively in my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, I explained a lot of this concept, so it's not a shock that you find Ford Foundation or Ford Motor Company, Rockefeller Standard Oil. IBM and all these, you know, Harriman, you know, the Bush family, you know, the Harriman railroad interest, you know, funding and supporting National Socialism, which we know, which more popularly as the Nazis. Okay, and you can see there's examples in the so-called, you know, uprising of these students. Okay, one of the groups. Yeah, of course you got all the George Soros. I mean, George Soros, a Nazi sympathizer who got a lot of his billions, you know, with currency manipulations and then all this sort of thing. You know, George Soros, if he steps foot in, you know, some countries in Europe, I think they'll probably arrest him for financial fraud. But anyway, you know, he comes here and he funds, you know, this MoveOn.org and these Rolling Stone and these other douchebags, okay, in these colleges. You know, these anti-Trump so-called radicals. But, you know, one of the groups that caught my attention was something called the Students or Democratic Students or something. Or who was it? The Student for Democratic Society or SDS. I can't remember the exact name. But anyway, it caught my eye because this is a group. If you trace it back, I traced this group back. The Students for a Democratic Society, I think it was SDS, but anyway, okay, there's a lot of like-minded groups, but this is one group, if you trace it back, you know, its mother organization was something called the League for Industrial Democracy, okay, and if you follow the money trail behind that group, it leads back to the Carnegie Endowment. Now, what's significant about the SDS, okay, the Students for a Democratic Society, which is part of all these useful idiots, was that it also spawned something called the Weather Underground.
Right.
And people remember, you may remember the Weather Underground was a really an anarchist,
yes,
a terrorist group in the 60s and 70s. They were going around and they were killing cops, they were bombing police
stations.
Yeah. Huh. These guys were the real deal. I mean, they, you know, over here in 1980 or 81, I think they ambushed a Brinks armored car, you know, an offshoot of the Weather Underground called the May 19th terrorist ambushed a Brinks armored car, and then a couple of cops pulled over the scene, and they gunned them down in cold blood on the New York Thruway. Okay, just as an example, this is who they are, but who is this organization but William Ayers? Okay, so William Ayers, advisor and friend to this scam artist, this half-white, slickster, con man in the White House, this smiling, disrespectful smartass, this Fidel Castro visiting loser, Obama, who brings his whole family down to Cuba like he's on some kind of vacation, to communist Cuba, which surprises because he really is. Obama's a communist, but he's a good kind of communist. He's the kind of communist that enjoys, high society. He's a Politburo communist, okay? He's the one that enjoys the power. He's not the street thug communist. He's not the useful idiot. He's a little bit smarter than these other doofuses that are on the street supporting him, and this sort of thing. But anyway, William Ayers' organization is part of all these anarchists. So again, this is not some organic uprising of the people, okay? It's like the French Revolution. It's the same idea, okay? It's run by bankers and university intellectuals who are really looking not to help people out, they're just looking to conglomerate power.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense that the world's the biggest industrialists in the history of the world, like Rockefeller and their family interests, would support these idiots is because they're serving a purpose. Okay, they're bringing in, they're knocking down really the greatest government, the greatest governmental system in the history of the world, which would be the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that gives people rights. But where do these rights, now this is where it gets to the religious aspect, where do these rights come from? Inalienable rights endowed by our Creator. So in other words, if we follow the Declaration of Independence, the spirit of the Declaration of Independence, which gave us the Constitution, our rights can never be taken away because they're given by God himself. And, our right to a fair trial and a trial by jury and all these things that are part of the greatest political document ever written, which would be the United States Constitution. But if you take God out of the picture, okay, then our rights are created by the state. They are no longer inalienable. Then our rights come at the whim of George Soros, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Fidel Castro, Pol Pot. Okay, so in other words, we don't have any rights except whatever the person in charge says our rights are. Okay, and this is where we are headed as we speak, and you can see it happening in real time. Okay, you have the hero of these people, this Obama, the Born Alive Infant Abortion Protection Act opponent. Okay, Obama voted against something called the Born Alive Infant Abortion Protection Act. So you can see that this guy's got a bloodlust that's insatiable, just like Lucifer himself. Okay, maybe that could be a subject for another show. But anyway,
yeah,
all these groups supporting Obama. And meanwhile, what is Obama doing? Okay. He's tacitly supporting these people. Okay, he could get on, he could stop a lot of this tomorrow if he really wanted to, but he's not because he's one of them. This is where I could tell Obama he rose through the ranks, through the William Ayers, the Ivy League. Okay, these are his people, okay, out in the streets. Now he's letting them, now even though he's jumping into the action, getting on, the beat Trump down bandwagon. But again, Trump is just a name that's being assigned to it. What they're really hating on and what they're really against is America itself. Make no mistake about it. It's not Donald Trump. Okay, Donald Trump is just the face of what these people really hate, which is America.
Okay.
But again, they're shooting themselves in the foot because as soon as they get their man Obama, agitator, communist, you know, community organizer, street thug radical. As soon as he conglomerates power and he cancels the elections, okay, and these people, you know, now you can have a bunch of revolutionaries standing around with no revolution to fight. And again, the dictators of history, they're not idiots, okay? You know, they know that the last thing they want are a bunch of brown shirts running around with no revolution to fight. So, you know, Obama's going to have his own knife and long knives, and all these people, all these so-called radical leaders, they'll be dead and, you know, and arrested and sent to FEMA camps like the rest of us that oppose Obama. What he's about to do, and you could see it already, okay? You could see Obama on one hand, you know, he's Mr., you know, down with the people and all this other sort of thing. But on the other hand, what he's doing is he's the one, Obama's the one behind this National Defense Authorization Act and all this illegal spying and all this other stuff. So he's got, on the other hand, he's setting up the framework for the East, you know, the East German Stasi, okay, you know, or Hitler's, you know, SS or, you know, the Russian KGB or whatever you want to, whatever analogous organization you want to throw in there. Obama's already setting it up, so he, you know, he's going to have top-down control. When he takes control, he's going to have control of the NSA and the FBI and all these other organizations, because he's going to squash the opposition like a bunch of bugs. Okay, so he's letting them, implement and induce the anarchy that's going to cause him to declare martial law and cancel the election. At the same time, he's got control of the framework, the spying framework, you know, set up by, you know, George the sellout Bush, you know, the neocon loser that touched George Bush. The best thing about Donald Trump so far might be that he ran Jeb Bush, that flower, that wallflower, that loser idiot out of the presidential race. Okay. Only a legend, even though the Bush, but anyway, this framework given to us under the so-called war on terror by George Bush, the sellout conservative so-called George Bush. Obama's taking a lot of this Patriot Act framework, okay, and he's setting up essentially his East German Stasi, okay, and you can see it, okay, there's an article, I think, in the last few days, the FBI is going around to, you know, students, the high school and elementary school students, and, you know, and telling them, you know, they're starting to say, you know, if somebody speaks out against the government, you know, that they're to report them to their teachers and to the FBI. So you're already seeing a Stasi-like setup, okay? This is how the East Germans did it, and the Germans and, you know, and a lot of these, you know, in other words, they're not necessarily all-powerful, but what they did is they gave them, you know, enough of an indication of power. The Nazis were a minority organization in Germany, okay? They weren't the majority, but Hitler was, you know, all things being equal, and Hitler was brilliant, okay? He was evil, but he was brilliant, okay? And he got the right people, you know, under him. He knew whose people were loyal to him, and he knew who to get rid of and who to keep. Okay, but he got the security apparatus working, and he got it to the point where people were so paranoid that they were snitching on each other. They were snitching to the government, and that's how Hitler was able to control the people, because you didn't know who was who. You didn't know who to trust and who not to trust. Okay, so you had to, just like in Orwell's 1984, okay, with the same exact principle. Okay, you know, Big Brother, okay, the character Winston at one time, he said, you know, he compared it to flies, you know, on a horse. Okay, the flies, they land on a horse, you know, and Winston, I think he was thinking to himself, he's like, man, you know, if people would organize, they would, you know, the people are like the horse, the mass of the people in the government. Big Brother is like those flies on the horse. If the horse only knew how powerful it really was, it would shake those flies off, you know, and then stomp them instantly, but it just never did, because it didn't realize the power it had. Okay, and that's roughly. And Hitler was, you know, was smart enough to understand this, and, you know, and that's how he acquired power, and that's how he stayed in power. Okay, and basically this is the same thing that Obama's doing. Okay, with things like, you know, having the FBI going around and, you know, anti-government protesters. You know, and Obama had the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay, the most useful and the most idiotic of the useful idiots, the Southern Poverty Law Center. doing his bidding for him. So you had something in 2009 called the Missouri Information Analysis Center report. Okay, and it came out. You know, remember how you got Bush with the terrorist note. But really what it set up the framework for what the government's really doing, it's got nothing to do with Muslims, by the way. Okay, you know, the war on terror is a sham, in case people haven't figured that out by now. Okay, and I'm not saying, you know, Islam is religion of peace. I mean, you know, that's an argument for another day, but there's no way that Islam should be competing with the greatest country in the history of the world, which is the United States. It shouldn't even... The war on terror shouldn't even be this close, but anyway, that's not the subject. That's not the point right now. But the framework, this national security system, NSA, domestic spying framework, you know, this joke, you know, you hear the idiots on Fox News, oh, you know, Snowden's bad, you know, this is, he's messing with our national security, and we need a national, you know, it's not, you stupid Fox News nimbos and bimbos, you idiots. Okay, if the government was really interested in our security, it wouldn't be importing, you know, and Obama especially, it wouldn't be importing tens of thousands of unvetted, unscreened Somali and other immigrants from other countries. Okay, it wouldn't leave our borders wide open, letting, you know, thousands of OTMs other than Mexicans, you know, guys of military age of shady Middle Eastern descent, you know, waltz across the Mexican border. If the government was really serious about our security, it wouldn't be allowing all this to go on. But at the same time, you know, they're so concerned about security that they're forming this top-down security apparatus control, you stupid douchebags, Fox News, you morons, okay? They can't see this, okay? That the NSA, it's really, it was Bush's, you know, implementation, and Obama's just taking it and growing it and growing it because it's about control. Okay, even this phone call we're having right now, you know, if I sit there and, you know, in 10 years ago, I said, you know, the government's listening to this phone call and recording this and, you know, and listening to me right now, you'd say, oh, you know, you're tinfoil hat. No, because thanks to Snowden, because we now know that the government does really listen to and record hundreds of millions cell phone conversations. Okay, the Missouri Information Analysis Center report, I was, you know, who does the government now call, quote, terrorist? Okay, it's no longer, you know, guys, you know, the, you know, from Saudi Arabia overstay their visa. Okay, remember Bush, and that's another thing, you know, we're going to get Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. Meanwhile, 15 of the 19 terrorists from Saudi Arabia. Okay, Saudi Arabia. I was just reading a thing today about, the barbarity of the way they treat, you know, petty criminals and women in Saudi Arabia. The beatdowns that women get in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
You know, here we have, you know, Obama bowing to the king of Saudi Arabia, and the Bush, you know, Bush's best buddies in the Middle East is Saudis. You know, we're going to go get Saddam Hussein. You know, because he's got weapons of mass destruction. You know, anyway, I don't want to go off that tangent right now, but the point is that the security, this framework of, you know, quote, you know, terrorists now have been turned into, quote, domestic terrorists. And who does the government consider domestic terrorists? The people that support Ron Paul, people that support Bob Barr, people that oppose abortion, people that oppose the United Nations, people that think, you know, people that say that the Federal Reserve is going to, you know, it's part of some international monetary conspiracy, and, you know, people that are against the Federal Reserve. Well, no blank, Sherlock. Of course you're against it. You know, we're against the Federal Reserve. It's a scam. Okay, it's a money-producing scam. It's gonna result in the downfall of the United States economy. If this is the number one institution bringing about this economic collapse, is the Federal Reserve System. But the federal government, under Obama, doing the bidding of his criminal...
I can't believe how we're... I was going to say, Rob, I can't believe how quickly we are running out of time. You had some really interesting things, I think, of giving into the whole thought process of Illuminati and all these different history, going into the French Revolution, to the Russian Revolution, to even specifically about Trump. You're not concerned that Trump is the next Hitler. Best place to find information on you is buxofsunglasses.com or at Rob Roselli. And Rob, who knows what next week's going to bring, right? We're going to at least know this election a little bit further, right?
I tell you what, smart advice. If you want to find out what's going on, don't watch Fox News.
Okay. You
go
are...
on the alternative website.
I know, because Fox has become more and more to the center. So take care, Rob, and we'll talk next week, okay?
I know.
All right, take care. All right, that was Rob Roselli. Take care, everybody.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.